If you will, turn to Philippians chapter 4 real quick. Brother Royce is out of the city in Weatherford. Let's keep him in our prayers. He had the devotional tonight. But in Philippians chapter 4, it's interesting that Paul had a way of encouraging brethren to look at him. But the reason why he wanted people to look at him, because he was following the Christ. Remember on two occasions, one time, 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1, follow me even as I follow Christ. So the idea there is you see me following Christ, do the same. If you don't see me following Christ, follow Christ. But then in Ephesians 5, verse number 1, be ye imitators of God as dear children. It's interesting about mimicking God and following him and following Christ. Yet, Paul would tell the Philippian brethren in Philippians 4 and verse number 9, pretty much the same thing. And I found it interesting that he would say these words, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Before we go into that, I want us to take notice of some things. In chapter 4, you'll see three times, at least in the first nine verses, the phrase, in the Lord. You see it in verse number 1, you see it in verse number 2, and you see it in verse number 4, in the first nine verses. And in that, there's something different attached to it that I found very interesting. Number one, we see that Paul attaches being firm or persevering, being or standing fast. But where should one persevere, stand firm? In the Lord. That's the location where Paul is telling the Philippian brethren, stand fast in the Lord. But notice the rest of the verse. He says, therefore, my beloved and long for brethren, and notice what he calls them. I just thought this was very powerful. My joy, my crown. Can you imagine calling people that? I mean, we don't call people my joy, my crown. Sometimes people call you everything but a Christian. But Paul called them my joy and my crown. And then the exhortation, stand fast, be firm, persevere in the Lord. And then notice in verse number 2, he does something, really verse 2 and 3. Now he's encouraging fellowship, camaraderie, but I found this to be very encouraging. It was two sisters. For some reason, they were not seeing eye to eye. I think that's the safest way to say this. But neither one of them were wrong. Yet, when it came to their situation, they weren't handling it properly. And the reason why I know this is because of the word mind. Because of that word. It's amazing how precise the scriptures are. Notice what he says. I implore, I beg, Euodia. And I implore, I beg Syntyche to be of the same mind. In the Lord. The word there is the idea of the same opinion. And I said, what? Really? Now, you know how we are. That's my opinion. My opinion is better than your opinion. Well, we can be pretty opinionated, right? In my opinion. Paul said, well, hold on. I need that yoke fella. I need the one who is a true companion to get these women together because they're laboring with me in the gospel. They're fellow workers. Their names are in the book of life. You know what that means? They're not in sin. You can't be in sin and your name be in the book of life. It can't happen. So, we've got some opinionated things going on here. And Paul is telling them, hey, both of them, they need to get this together. But he's encouraging them to really come and be one in the same opinion. You know what? That's going to require some communication, some talking. Some backing down, some denying self. And I thought, wow, how precise the scriptures are. And he's telling these sisters that they need to work this out. And so he says they need to be of the same mind, the same opinion. Notice the location in the Lord. But then notice verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The word rejoice there is be glad. Are you glad tonight? There's things in our lives sometimes that we're not glad about. I understand that. But for the most part, we ought to be. And this is in the imperative, which means that it's a command. Paul is not suggesting this. He's like, well, if you get around to it, you feel like it. No, he said, no, be glad. Why? You're in the Lord. The very fact that you're in Christ, you ought to be glad. But I'm not getting my way right now. Be glad. Be glad I'm not getting my way. Yeah, you're in the Lord. It's amazing what God is teaching. And so drop down to verse number 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, notice he says, meditate. It's also in the imperative. The idea of meditate, Brother Brian brought this out on a Sunday night, dealing with the word lagomisomai. It's putting it together, deliberating, pondering, weighing it out, putting it to an account, thinking it through. Think these things through, the things that are true and noble and honest and just and good and lovely. Think about these things. What do you spend most of your time thinking about? Are they spiritual? We have a home waiting for us. But we have to go through some things down here first. We have to be proven worthy of it. We have to rid some of those things that are not good. So God is working those things out of us. Philippians 2:12, we're working out our salvation. But Philippians 1:6, any good work that he begins, he's going to finish it. And the very fact that he started it, he's going to finish it. Let me encourage you. Don't quit because God won't. I almost said don't quit before God does, but God doesn't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't back up. Stay on the course. And now notice what he says. The things which you learned, literally to be informed and received, information transmitted, taken in, heard, things considered, and saw, things perceived with the eyes, he says, practice this. I wonder if people followed us, where would we lead them? To the Christ, right? That's why I'm talking to Christians. But everyone is not following the Christ. We must follow the Christ. We must follow the apostles' doctrine. It is all right for me to follow Brian if Brian is following the Christ. It's all right for Brian to follow me if I'm following the Christ. If I'm off, Brian has a responsibility to say, Mike, you need to get back on track. Why? You're not following the Christ. Those whom God loves, he chastens. Fortunately, he uses us to do it too. And so, let me end with this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16, I'll leave you with this. I won't elaborate on it much. It's a familiar passage. All scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word there is the idea of an adult teaching a child and teaching that child not only how to think, but to cultivate and develop their mind. But not only that, but to ensure that their mind, their will, their intellect, and their body is safe. And what it does is, God's word, it actually teaches us how to take care of our mind and our bodies. Paul says, follow me. Why? I'm taking care of all of that. Friends, we have to take care of the whole man. And when we do that, Paul says, now the God of peace will be with you. Earlier, he says, the peace of God will be with you. Now he says, the God of peace. Friends, when we have the peace of God, then you know you have the God of peace, because they go hand in hand. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be thinking. I want you to consider being a Christian, a follower of Christ, by believing the Christ, the gospel, and repenting of your sins and confessing Jesus Christ to be Lord and being buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. You haven't been following Christ close enough. That happens. Let's get that together as we stand, as we sing to save his invitation.